Hi, and welcome to Podcasting 101 with Rachel. This podcast is for busy female entrepreneurs who run their own businesses and want to start a podcast or who may already have a podcast. I want to share practical information and tips on how you can get your podcast started and managing it along the way. I'll also be interviewing other female podcast hosts to give you real insight into what it's like having your own podcast. Hi, and welcome to this week's episode. This week, I have Loretta Milan with me. Loretta is a communications expert and founder of The Originers and host of The Originers podcast. Welcome, Loretta.
Hello. Thanks for welcoming me.
It's nice to have you here.
Thank you.
For context, I met Loretta through our West Midlands podcast community and club that's based in Worcestershire, because we're both in the local area, which is really nice. It was nice to actually meet you in person as well at Christmas time.
It was. We met over some board games, which was particularly fun. You're very competitive, we found out.
Yes, it was such good fun. I actually bought that Sounds Fishy game for home and we played it at Christmas and it was just as hilarious there as well. So it was a good night.
If no one's played Sounds Fishy, it's a very great game. It's very simple to pick up and very fun.
Yes, absolutely. I wanted Loretta to come on here and talk about her experience with podcasting and podcasting for her business. So just let us a little bit more about like what you do, what Originers is, and your podcasts.
Well, Originers is a baby podcast so far, but it's big in terms of what the concept is, because we have a big belief, and that's that we're all originals. We all have a unique blend of personality, skills, experiences, and values. And that's what gives you the greatest opportunity to stand out and succeed. And that's what we're all about celebrating on the Originers podcast, because that's what we really want to get you believing in. So that's why I set it up. And we're 20 episodes in so far.
Well, congratulations. That's really good. What made you want to add podcasting to your business? How did you feel that the medium would work for you?
Well, I've been running a communications agency for coming up 10 years now. And I do like the fact that having being 10 years into business is an opportunity to have a party. So you will get an invitation. There will be champagne and cake. But I changed the name of the business about a year ago because I realised that originality was becoming a bigger part of my work in communication. I was realizing that more and more people were trying to change themselves to fit a mold when they were communicating, and not realizing that their authenticity, when they could be themselves, they were more able to stand out and do more great work and have a greater impact. And I realized that podcasting was a really great medium for me sharing that message. I've been thinking about it about a year and I thought, let's do it. So I set up the podcast and I began.
So with your podcast, with your communications background, that was what you wanted to highlight through your podcast.
Yes.
And did that make it quite easy to come up with the topics and things that you wanted to talk about in these first kind of 20 episodes?
Yes. I found what was surprising was how easily, once I worked out what my niche was, how easily the topics came. Where the topic ideas came was more from conversations with people. I would say to people, well, I'm starting this podcast, and naturally people would say, well, what are you going to talk about? Surely you're going to run out of ideas of things to talk about once you've done so many episodes. And I said, well, I'm going to talk about this and I'm going to talk about that. And then I'd spend over a sort of cup of tea or something. I'd spend a whole hour talking about all the things that I was going to talk about. And I'd say, well, this thing really has legs.
Yeah. I think those, especially talking with people who potentially are your ideal client or your ideal listener,
yes,
helps with those types of the ideas for the topics, helps flow
Because like you say, you're having those conversations with people and realizing that these are the kind of things that people really want to hear about. And originality as well. We always hear, I mean, the word authentic is kind of bandied around a lot. I love with originers, you are right, being our authentic, original selves is really important for showing up for your podcast, for your business, for what you're doing in life. You don't want there to be a disconnect between all those different things. And it is, especially with corporate, I think, as well, if people are working as an employee, it is hard to have that being yourself because, you know, you have to, quote unquote, fit into what the company is like. Or maybe you feel pressure to do that. You have to behave in a certain way. So I think it's a great thing to encourage everybody to embrace being yourself and being, you know, those original, your original self.
Absolutely. Well, I had two parts of it. The original, so everybody is an original. We all have something. And the longer you live life, the more original you become. And the reason for that is you collect more experiences, you build more skills, and your values develop. So the longer you live, the more original you become. You develop being an originer when you take action upon that. So an originer is somebody who then uses that originality to do something, no matter how big or small. If you use that to change someone else's life, to inspire somebody else, to set up a business, to make an idea happen, that's when you become from being an original to being an originer. You make something happen. And originally, when I came up with the idea, I thought, well, that's for people who are maybe entrepreneurs or change makers. You know, because you have to be working, setting up a business or something to make that happen. And I came from a corporate background and I thought, well, maybe you couldn't make that happen in corporates. But the more I thought about it, the more I realized you can. You can be an individual in a big organization. It is possible just because those organizations have bigger and wider strategy and they have bigger and wider objective doesn't mean there isn't space for originality within it. In fact, it becomes even more important because more and more people fall into the conformity trap. They think that they have to conform. They think they have to fit a particular mold in order to get ahead. In fact, I've seen, because I have worked in FTSE 100 companies, I've worked with leaders of global brands, I've actually seen the people who stand out as original, the ones that are authentic, are actually the ones who get ahead, not the ones who conform to the norm.
Absolutely. You're totally right. There is definitely a place for it in corporate as well. I think it can only be an advantage because you're thinking is completely original and you think of something that no one else would think of. So you're bringing that to the table and looking at it that way rather than thinking, oh, I have to just be like everybody else or like what they quote unquote want me or expect me to be like.
Absolutely. You've hit it on the head. Absolutely.
Oh, well, you inspired that from your conversation. So yes. When it came to starting the podcast, how did you feel about, you know, everything that you had to get done? Were you quite, did you know what you had to do? Did you have somebody come and help you? What was kind of your process?
Well, because I've run the agency, I know where my strengths are, which is on the creative side and the communication side and coming up with ideas and developing those. I know that the technology side, I know that's something where I have to partner with people and work with people who specialize in that sort of thing. So I outsourced that part and knew that I'd be better off working with other people to do those parts. So that's what I did.
How did you find the whole process? Did you start planning the episodes out yourself? And then once you were ready, did you bring somebody on board to help you get set up with the recording and then choosing like things like, because I know you're on Captivate as well, which is the podcast hosting platform.
Yes.
Did you find that yourself or did somebody recommend that to you? How did you go about getting all that kind of tech in place?
I experimented with a few different tools. So I tried Libsyn first. And then I tried Captivate. I did a lot of research into different tools. I do more research when I know I'm going to be sticking with a tool for a longer period of time. But what I liked about Captivate is that it's very much focused on growth. And for me, Origineurs is not just a podcast, it's a movement. I want to really inspire people around the world to embrace originality. It really is a message. And I love that Captivate is very much shares that philosophy about helping people spread their message. And that for me made it the channel for me.
Yeah, I that is the reason why I chose Captivate as well. The fact that they embrace growth in there as well. And making everything so easy. I found the platform really user-friendly. And I love all the like episode planning. I've actually got my notes up here on my other screen here, where you can plan the episode, then turn it into, you know, like you can publish it and stuff like that. So all the short codes and the blocks and things that you can use in there are really, really handy. And they do help streamline the lot of the processes that are involved in when you upload them and adding things to the episodes.
Yeah, it's got so much functionality. I don't use all the functionality yet, but it's one of those things.
No, I don't either. Yeah. But yeah, I think it's good that, because although depending on where you are with your podcast, like I know a lot of people start out with like Spotify for Podcasts, which is a free platform. But because when you start, because it's a growth platform, yes, you might not use all the functionality to start with. But as you say, your podcast is something that's going to grow and evolve over time. And with your experience. And I feel like Captivate is definitely a platform that you can grow and evolve with, because, you know, they have got the dynamic ads and things like that, which I'm not currently using, but it's something that I do want to use. And it's nice to know that I don't have to switch to do that kind of, to get that kind of functionality for my podcast. You've kind of got it all with it included.
Yeah, you feel it's something you can stay with. Yeah, I very much feel the same way.
Yeah. How have you found like doing the recordings? I know all of your episodes so far have been solo episodes. You're a communications expert, so I'm sure you have a lot of confidence. You seem and it comes across in your episodes. Did you feel okay about recordings? I know it can be a nervous thing for some people.
Yeah, what I did with the first ones, the great thing, I use Audacity to record at the moment, which is a great tool. It's free for anyone who wants to get going. You can record in sections, which is great, because for the first few episodes, I could record in blocks and then go back and listen, and then record in blocks and go back and listen to make sure that each section was as I wanted it to be before moving forward.
Yeah, I do like Audacity. That's the thing. I use that to edit. Although I have been exploring other options because there's a lot of new tools and AI things that are coming up. But when I recorded my solo episodes, I did use Audacity to begin with. Mm. I think that it's it gets a really good recording. And like you say, it's very easy to edit those blocks and to kind of almost edit as you go along, really, if you make a mistake and things like that. So that's quite easy.
No, it's really good. I think with AI, I just have to make sure I investigate AI tools beforehand, because although AI is brilliant and it's revolutionising things, the one thing you have to be really careful about as a content creator is that you don't inadvertently sign away copyright in the process. Yeah. So some of the transcribing tools, and WordPress has got an issue at the moment where there's a risk that some people may be giving away copyright to some of their content potentially. So those are things I'm just keeping an eye on at the moment before signing up to things. Just keeping an eye on things before rushing into things, making sure that the ethics are there. While getting excited about the innovation, which I am, I love innovation, making sure I'm also making sure I know what those things mean for me as a content creator at the same time.
Well, that's a very good report. I hadn't actually even thought about that, because I use Descript to transcribe my episodes and then I upload that into Captivate. Are they saying that the copyright then lands with Descript over your content rather than actually?
Oh, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying.
No, not Descript. But I mean, like, generally, that's what the potential issue could be is that what you use to transcribe could end up having copyright over your content. Is that kind of what?
No, I'm just saying for every solution, you have to check the terms and conditions carefully to make sure that there's nothing in the terms and conditions that affects the copyright of the content creator. I'm not calling out any particular.
I wasn't saying that. Yeah, but that's something like that hadn't really occurred to me. And you're right, it is something that should be considered when you're using these tools. I know Adobe Enhance have got like a beta version of something, and they have like some different terms of agreement and talking about if you're using the beta, you need to give feedback on all these things. And I was reading, I was thinking, oh, I hadn't, you know, funny that you bring it up, but it's something that I hadn't really considered. Actually, there's on Captivate Growth Labs, they have a podcast lawyer that's coming up. I don't know whether he's already been or whether it's coming up. And I just thought, oh, what do you need a podcast lawyer for? So I'll be interested to see what that's about. And maybe he might touch on something on like that about copyright for content creators.
Yeah, it might be because there were some content creators recently that had some concerns about Spotify with some changes to the terms and conditions. So that's an example where content creators now are scrutinizing the terms and conditions more because they're looking for concerns about AI, because we're all originals and we want to maintain originality of our content and make sure that we know what's happening with the things that we create. And if we are sharing that content, that there's full transparency over what's happening with that so that people can make informed decisions where they are sharing that content.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And I think sometimes terms and conditions, I know I'm 100% guilty of this, they're so long and convoluted that you tend to just click accept and then that's all right. But so maybe that is, I think I might have to go back and have a look at some of this. especially when it concerns AI. I know it's a hot topic. I feel like maybe the people that are doing, the companies maybe should highlight some of those areas rather than, you know, we've just dumped it in and you have to read it yourself, and maybe make it a little bit more transparent for users and creators.
Mm. I mean, that's a great thing that's great about a lot of these groups. Like you've talked about the podcast club, you've talked about the Riverside community, you've talked about the Growth Labs, you've talked about some of the other communities that you're part of on Facebook. The great thing about some of these content creation communities is that we do really look out for each other. We can't keep an eye on everything as individuals, but together we really can keep an eye on eye out on things for each other, and that really is great.
Absolutely, it is lovely being part of you know, these podcast communities and meeting other creators and podcasters, because it does offer up such another great perspective. Mm-hmm. And I always learn something and get something out of when I have a chat with somebody, or when we meet up with our group, because there's just an angle that I just haven't thought of, or sort of perspective that I haven't thought of as well. And it's always so great to get that. Like you just mentioning that about the transparency there, that's not something, but now it's something that I'll be aware of and that I can go and have a look and then hopefully help somebody else with that, you know, thinking about that kind of thing as well. So I do love that. And I am, especially in the last year, being able to be around other creators and things, it's a really nice place to be in.
Yeah, on another note, the diversity, one of the great things about the podcast club, we're totally different creators. You posted a post recently talking about the total variety of different creators that are there. You've got people doing a history podcast, people doing special interest podcasts. And you think, well, what connects us? But what connects us is a love of podcasting. And I learn something from people who are in totally different niches to me. And I find it really sparks my creativity and imagination. And that's a power of being around different originals. If you're around people who are the same as you every day, you get this kind of groupthink, you get this you know, you can get really stagnant in your thinking. But if you expose yourself to people who are original, they're totally different to you every day, it really diversifies your thinking. It really sparks your imagination all the time. So being around groups that are really diverse in their makeup is very powerful.
Yeah, it's brilliant being part of that. And I love that there are so many different voices and different experiences coming through the club. And I've listened to a lot. Like I said, there was Andrew Martin's Family Histories podcast. And
it's brilliant.
Yeah, brilliant. It's brilliant. I absolutely love that one. So I've recommended it to a few people now as well. I mean, obviously, I've come across your podcast and then Miriam Cunliffe's Mims Moments, which I really like. Going out into a lot of hers is based in the community as well. Just it little is, different interest stories. And also Dee Moore's Diary of a Kidney Warrior. It's just very powerful. And she's very, I know it feels like it's cheesy to say, very inspiring and brave, but she totally is. Mm. And I was very sad to miss the in-person meetup the other week. I couldn't figure out my babysitters, so I didn't get to go. But it looked like they had a really great night meeting up in Birmingham. So hopefully we'll be having another in-person one soon.
We will.
Yes.
Not hopefully, we will, absolutely.
We will, we definitely will. There won't be in the next couple of months.
We will.
So, well, it sounds like you had a good idea of what you wanted your podcast to be like and knew where your strengths lied with getting it produced or getting it made, because it is a big thing to introduce into your business, a podcast.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And it's having to have that realisation that, have I got time to fit this in my podcast? However you're going to do it, to make mm-hmm. it work with you and what you're already doing. So it mm-hmm. sounds like you've taken those steps to make sure the podcast is working for you and your business. And how have you found promoting your podcast? What kind of, have you been using just LinkedIn, or do you kind of go across an array of different platforms? And what kind of things do you do to promote the your episodes?
I think the top ingredient for promoting any podcast is passion. There's a lot of podcasts that die. You know, they get to a few episodes and they don't get anywhere because the passion isn't really there. And I think to get anything off the ground takes a lot of love and passion because you have to really build that interest. And It's not just one thing. As I know from having the communication agency, I will bang on about this to people all the time. You're not just going to have one post and suddenly it go, unless you're incredibly lucky, it does happen from time to time. There is a phenomenon and something just rockets and takes off and all of a sudden something is a miraculous success. But usually it takes time and it's not just one post. So LinkedIn is a big channel for me. Facebook, I get a lot of traction on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter, believe it or not.
Right.
I know it's not the most active channel, but I'd built up quite a bit of an audience on Twitter previously because mm-hmm. I had a blog years ago from my love of books. And I had an audience on there previously. Another big thing for really building an audience is my networking. I have some postcards and I go out there. My biggest marketing tool is myself. Whether I'm going out seeing clients or going out to events, conferences, I'm going out to networking sessions, I'm always talking about the podcast. But it's not so much the podcast or my agency I talk about. It's the idea, because I think that's what people really get behind. If I tell people about the concept of originality and that they themselves are an original, that's the thing we get talking about and people really get behind. And if I get talking to people about the real power of communication, they really love that idea and that's what gets them listening. And slowly the numbers go up. And I find that I tend to get talking about a particular episode. So I find myself like I'm a podcast doctor. I'll get talking to someone and they've got a particular problem with regards to either their authenticity or their communication. And I'll say to them, you've got to listen to this one particular episode about why you're good enough or why your voice matters or how to handle advice. And I'll point them to one particular episode and I'll follow up with a note linking them to that episode. I really believe in my episodes. So usually they love the episode and they'll listen to that episode and they'll go and listen to more episodes and they'll listen to the next episode. And so the numbers go up from there. Mm. As a marketer, I've always said to people that the best form of marketing isn't social media. It's not some fad on TikTok. It's not a billboard in the middle of Manchester. It's not a lorry driving down the M1 with amazing livery graphic on it. It's not a TV ad in the middle of This Morning. The best form of marketing is delivery. If you deliver something amazing, that person is going to come back to you. They're going to recommend you to somebody else. And so your quality of what you create is the most important thing. Because if you do that really well, people are going to find out about it. You know, everyone knows their favorite podcasts. If you've got a favorite podcast, you can't keep it to yourself. You've got to say you can't help yourself. You've got to say to somebody else, you've got to listen to this podcast. So I think as a podcast creator, you've got to say to yourself, how can I make this podcast the podcast that someone is going to go down the pub or down the coffee shop or to a networking event and say to somebody else, you've got to listen to that podcast. And that's got to be your challenge to yourself.
It's word of mouth, isn't it? Your delivery. And then people are going to be your advocates because they believe in what you have created.
Spot on, Rachel. Yeah.
And it is all about passion as well. Like you were saying, that if you are doing a podcast because you feel like you've got to do one and you think, yes, okay, but you're not really enjoying it, people are going to feel that as well, aren't they? They're going to, and also for yourself, it's not going to do you any good if you're not passionate about your message. Hopefully that if you've got your business and you're passionate about your business, about what you're doing for people and the transformation you provide.
Yeah.
And then it's putting that passion into your podcast and a format and a way that you can get across that passion.
Yes.
In your podcast. And I definitely feel that passion from you, and I feel that in your episodes.
Yeah.
When I listen to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. And so you talked about the Origineurs as a movement. You have talked a little bit about that movement. What are your hopes for the podcast and for the Origineurs movement for the future?
If I could get everybody in this world believing that they are original and believing that truly for themselves, I would achieve my mission in life. I am so passionate about it. And I'll tell you why. It's not just a vanity project. It comes from my commitment to my children, because this is where it all started. Because when they were going through the schooling system, they both got neurodiversities. So they both have dyslexia, and my son's on the autistic spectrum. When they were in infant school, primary school, the teachers were always saying to me, they're behind. And they would thrust charts in my face saying how far they were behind on average. And I went through months, maybe years of this, how my children were behind average. And I was doing a lot as a parent to help them get on top with their reading, doing everything I could with maths to try and help them fit into this average. And I was feeling like they weren't normal. And I remember this one hot summer's day, I had to go to all these meetings with the school. And I was forced into yet another meeting for them to tell me my kids were behind average and they weren't normal. And I'm ashamed, but also proud to say I snapped. And I literally said this. I said to this teacher who was, you know, she was in front of me, very proud of herself to say that my children were behind average and that I was failing as a parent, even though I was really trying. And I said, children do not come out like pies in a pie factory all the same. They're all unique. They're all different. They're originals. And that's what's brilliant about them. We shouldn't be trying to make them all fit into a mold. They're originals. And it's just something just lit up like a light bulb for me in that moment. And I realized that something about them being originals must be an advantage. I realized that, okay, they were struggling with reading, but they had other advantages. They were great with their creativity. They love sports. My son has an absolute passion for animals. He's got this great connection with animals that no one else has. And all these things, I feel, give them a strength. And I've been able to support them with that and help them find paths in their life. But not everyone has someone in their life that helps guide them down their original path and help them realize that their originality is something that makes them special. And then that's a great thing. They don't have to be normal. They're not a failure for being an original. They're fantastic for being an original. And I want more people to realize that being an original is great. And I will succeed in life if I have everyone believing they are an original. And that's my commitment. I may only be 20 episodes in. I may only have a small number of listeners at the moment, but that is my mission.
That's very inspiring, Loretta. Very inspiring talk. I remember listening to your episode where you talk about that.
Yeah.
And I was talking about this the other day with one of my friends. Her children are neurodiverse, and she has had the same similar struggles with both of her children. And it's just, we were just saying, you know, like, it just doesn't suit some children. It just doesn't fit. And why are we trying to make them? And I get all the challenges that the school system has and the teachers have as well. Yeah. But it's something that does need to continue to change. To say, like, my son's coming up to his GCSEs now, and he's, you know, worried, like, what do I pick, and is this going to shape my future? And I was kind of trying to say to him that, you know, obviously it's important for him to get, you know, to do well and try hard, but, you know, this isn't going to end your life if you don't pass all your GCSEs. I'm just going to say that from the off, not that it's in a pass for you to do nothing, but we will figure out what you want to do in life and what lights you up and what makes you passionate. Because, you know, why not? Why should we all have to go in to do something that we don't really like because that's what we have to do, kind of thing. So it is important. And your children sound very lucky to have a mother like you to be there and support them in their originality. And yeah, let's hope that that movement does continue and everybody embraces their originality.
I hope so. I mean, there are so many paths for everybody. I will just say there are many fantastic teachers out there. My children have had fantastic teachers. I'm sure your son has. And any teachers that encourage the originality, I think in children, you're the stars of the show. If more teachers doing that are great, and I'm right behind you. And I think the schooling systems and the government who designs a schooling system always behind that needs to really encourage originality in children. But hey, let's spread the word. And if you don't listen to any other episode from the Originers podcast, listen to the one that's What Makes You Special, because that talks all about it, doesn't it?
Yes, absolutely. What Makes You Special.
Yes.
Well, we'll put all the links to the podcast and to Loretta, if you'd like to get in touch with her and talk about more about Originers. And
yes.
I'd love to just get your kind of top piece of advice for women out there that want to start a podcast for their business. What would be kind of your top piece of advice for them?
My top piece of advice is realize that your voice matters. It's really easy to underestimate what you have to say. It can be easy to assume that what you know is every day, because you know what you know every day. You see what you see every day. You do what you do every day. And so it becomes every day. But what you do and what you say and what you know can change somebody else's life. And it can be transformative for somebody else. And it can be revolutionary for somebody else. So have the courage to know that your voice matters and you can do something really special with that. And when you come to put your voice out there, really take a moment to believe in your voice. And if you feel scared or worried when you come to speak, take courage in knowing that your voice is likely to make an impact on somebody else and use it as service.
Brilliant advice. Absolutely brilliant. I think as women, we tend to undervalue our experiences and what we have to give. So that is really, really great advice for anyone who wants to start a podcast for their business. Thank you so much, Loretta. I've had such a great time today chatting with you. Thanks so much for coming on. And thanks everybody for listening, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Thanks for listening to the show. If you'd like to connect with me or get in touch, then head on over to my website. If you liked the episode, then I'd love it if you could leave me a review in your chosen podcast app. Your feedback is much appreciated. See you next time.